This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Bruchim Abam. We are embarking today on a great topic, an amazing topic. And before we do, I have a great announcement. You're going to be the first to see the proposed cover of the upcoming Sefer, Tzipisa LeYeshua, Yearning for Redemption, the classic treatise of the Chafetz Chaim, translated and elucidated with stirring essays on awaiting the coming Mashiach, the Mesh Harris edition. It might be tweaked a little bit, but this is basically what the cover is going to look like. And the good news is you could still participate in the publishing of this historic work, which not only will show how to yearn for redemption, but how to expedite it. So can you imagine? You could play a role in expediting the redemption. We're going to speak about a fabulous subject today, a fascinating topic, and I'm going to pull up the Mar Mekoymos here. Let's see if we could see that. And we're going on an adventure today, so I want everyone to put on your adventure gear, and we're going to be studying the opening topic of Parshas Bahaloscha, namely the menorah, to try to learn what the menorah looked like and where is the menorah located, and Be'ezus Hashem, when we could get it back. Okay, the main topic today is about the image of the menorah, the details of the menorah, and it's always interesting to discover the details in the context of a historical narrative. So there are a few things we need to know. When the Romans came and destroyed the Second Temple, they looted the Second Temple. The Gemara tells us that the Romans, because of the episode of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, dispatched their emperor, their general, and they dispatched their general. The first general that they dispatched was Nero Caesar. And when Nero Caesar came in proximity to the temple, he asked the child, "Please tell me your pasuk." And the child says, "Well, God will punish the Jewish people and then avenge the Edomite who brought it about." So Nero Caesar said, "God wants me to do his dirty work, and then he's going to wipe the floor with me." So the Gemara says, he fled, va'azal, he left, va'agayer, he converted, v'nafak mine Rameyer came from him. Then the Gemara says they dispatched Vespasian, Aspasianus Caesar. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out of the city and he met with the general. And Rabbi Yochanan greeted the general that you are the king, you are the emperor. And he said, "Well, if I'm the emperor, what took you so long? And furthermore, how dare you call me the emperor when I'm not the emperor?" And right away, Vespasian received word that indeed he had become the emperor, and he sent his son Titus in his place. And Titus came and he set siege to the Beis HaMikdash, which he began with the arrogant declaration, not only against the temple, but against God himself. He said, "Ey Eloi Kemoit Surcha Soyubai," whereupon he gashed the paroiches and he used it to as a garland, and he whisked off the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that Hashem fooled Titus into thinking harag es atzmai, that the blood coming out of the paroiches indicated to Titus that he was successful in putting a dagger in the heart of the Almighty. And Titus, when he was on ship, so God made a storm, and Titus arrogantly said, "God, what, you only control the waterways? Let's see if you could fight me, battle me on the dry land." And Hashem sent a beryakala, some kind of gnat, flying object, and it pecked at Titus's brain. And, Josephus writes that at the end of Titus's life, while he originally was a very aggressive, irritable, angry, wild animal, he mellowed toward the end of his life. And Rav Miller would say, yeah, sure, he mellowed when he had a flying creature pecking at his brain. it was hard for him to pay attention to anything else. And our tradition is that the Romans whisked away, they looted, and they took as booty many of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So let's study what exactly is in Rome today, and let's learn about the whereabouts and details of the menorah. Let's begin with the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Zayin. The Gemara says, Tana, kishuhu maza inoy maza ala parechas ala keneged parechas. When they would sprinkle the blood, they wouldn't sprinkle it on the parechas, so as not to get the parechas blood drenched, but opposite the parechas. Amar Rabbi Lazar bar Yosi. Rabbi Lazar bar Yosi says, No. Ani ro'i siha baroimi. I saw the parechas in Rome. Vahayu aleha kama tipe damim. There were many drops of blood. Shalpar v'sa'er shal Yom HaKippurim. Of the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Lazar bar Rabbi Yosi said, I was in Rome. Can you imagine? This Tana said that he was in Rome and he saw the Parechas. So the first piece of information is, where is the Parechas? It is in Rome. Who saw it? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi. Rashi brings a story from the Gemara in Me'ilah, in number 2, by the son of Talmion, that a nace happened to Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. Elazar bar Yossi healed the daughter of the king. What happened? A demon entered the body of the Bas Melech, and the name of the demon was Ben Talmion, and they brought him into the Oitzer of the Melech to collect whatever he wanted, and all he wanted was to take some letters, because they made gezeros against the Jewish people, and he found them and he ripped them up. And there, when he was given the opportunity to enter this repository in Rome, he saw the clay Beis HaMikdash. He saw the clay Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's interesting. How did he get there in the first place? Well, the Gemara seems to say that there was somebody who snuck in to the Roman society. He got a special Roman haircut because the Romans abolished Shabbos, the Romans abolished Mila, and the Romans abolished Taras HaMishpacha. So somebody took a Roman haircut and they snuck in and they said, I don't understand. You want your enemy to be rich or poor? They said, we want him to be poor. So they said, let them rest on Shabbos. They'll lose a seventh of their income. So he said, great idea. Then he said, you want your enemies to be strong or weak? They said, weak. So he said, let them do bris milah. They'll be weak. They said, great idea. He said, you want your enemies to be numerous or limited in population? They said, limited in population. So he said, let them keep taras hamishpacha. But then his cover was blown and a miracle happened, that Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi was able to heal the Bas Melech, and in doing so, he was given access to the royal archives. Speaking of which, if you have access to any royal archives, I'm looking for the archives of Hamodia magazine, published, the Hamodia newspaper, published in Poltava, it's Russia or Poland, between 1910 and 1915. I found, with the help of a number of people, the original printing of Tzipisa Yeshua in the Hamodia magazine in 1913. But we have a question whether it's really 1913 or 1911. So if you know of any libraries that have access or the hard copies of these, that's like the final piece of this sefer. Anyway, this is one item that Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi saw in Rome. He saw the Parochas. What else did he see? If you look in the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Hey, Vamer Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi, Ani Ro'isa Beroimi, V'kasa Alav Kodesh Hashem. He said, I saw the tzitz. I was in Rome and I saw the tzitz. And on the tzitz it said, Kodesh Hashem. How did he get there? Rashi says, he, like the Gemara says in Me'ilah, about this demon, Ben Talmion, that possessed the princess, that Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi was able to exorcise from the princess, and on that occasion, not only did he see the pareiches, he saw the tzitz as well. What else did he see? In Koheles Rabbah, he reports to seeing the little bird that was pecking in Titus's brain. In number five, Amar Rabbi Lezer Bar Yosi, Ani ho yisi sham baraymi, I was in Rome, v'nosnu ha-goyza alhu mitzad echad. They put that pigeon that pecked at Titus's brain on one side, u'shnei ha-litrin mitzad echad, and two liter measurement on the other, v'hava takal chad l'kal chad, and there was an equal measurement. In other words, the bird had consumed so much of Titus's brain matter that it weighed 2 litra. Nasnu oise v'ka'ara. Kol dahava dein shani, hava dein shani. Anyway, they placed it on a plate and it was a commensurate. Prach yatusha precha nafsha de titush, and the gnat flew away and Titus died. Anyway, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi saw the actual bird-sized gnat that was pecking away at Titus's brain. So not only did Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi see the pareiches, not only did he see the tzitz, he saw the bird that pecked at Titus's brain. What else? That it says in Esther Rabbah, Tana Asa v'chomalche Yehuda yashvu alav. Asa and all the kings of Yehuda sat on the throne of Shlomai. V'kivan sha'ala Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, the hecher of Yerushalayim, and he destroyed Jerusalem. Higla oisai l'Babel, it was exiled, the throne was exiled to Babel, umi Babel l'madai, and from Babylon to Media, umi madai l'yavan, from Media to Greece, umi yavan l'edaim, amra v'lezer rabbi yosi, Ani ro'isi shevara baroimi, I saw shattered pieces of the throne of Solomon in Rome. So there are 4 items that were seen in Rome. Number 1, the pareiches, the Gemara in Yuma says. Number 2, the Gemara in Sukkah, the tzitz, Koheles Rabbah, the bird that pecked at Titus's brain. Esther Rabbah, the shards of the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, nothing is mentioned about the menorah. Doesn't say he saw the menorah. So we don't have a record that someone of his stature saw the menorah. Let's talk a little bit about the menorah. Because anyone who's ever been to Imperial Rome, the engraven image in the Arch of Titus in Rome instills great reverence, and you know, your hair stands on edge. You're filled with goosebumps seeing the depiction of the menorah in the Arch of Titus, of the Roman legionnaires whisking away the menorah hatahira through the streets of Rome to onlookers and revelers who are cheering of the Roman victory. However, upon further analysis, if you study many of the details of the menorah that appear engraven on the Arch of Rome, by the way, who made the Arch of Rome? Titus destroyed the temple in the year 70. But at that time, Titus was not the emperor of Rome. Titus was only the general. The emperor of Rome was Vespasian. But Titus, Vespasian, died, I believe, in the year 79 or so. And he was taken over by Domitian. Now, Titus, even though he had a reputation for ruthlessness, he was considered a fair ruler compared to his brother Domitian. In the year 79, 9 years later, Titus becomes the emperor. And we're going to learn about what happened in that year. Domitian, about 2 years after Titus became the emperor, constructed this monument in his honor. Titus died about 2 years later. He only ruled for about 2.5 years. He ruled from the year 79 to 81. And Domitian made this arch in the year 81, about 11 years after the destruction of the temple. We're going to see there are many details of the menorah depicted on the arch that do not fit with the depiction of the Paiskim regarding what the menorah looked like. So over here, if you look at my picture, on the top is the arch of Titus. The arch of Titus, you see it? This is the depiction of the Roman legionnaires on the arch of Titus. This is them carrying the menorah, and this is a close-up of the menorah. So the first thing let's examine is Rashi in Parshas Truma and Rashi in this week's Parsha. In Parshas Truma, it talks about the yurecha, the leg of the menorah. Rashi says, "Hu haregel shamata ha'osei k'min teva." It is the foot below that's made like a box. Ushloisha haraglayim yoitzin himen olmata. And there are three legs that come out of it below. By the way, this is referred to in this week's Parsha as well. Ad yurecha, ad pircha, mikshahi. Ad yurecha, ad pircha, mikshahi. Ad yurecha, ad pircha. So, the Rashi says in Parshas Ba'aloischa, yurecha, hi hashidosh al haraglayim. The yurecha is the box that's on legs, cholol, it's hollow. Kederach menorah is kesef shelfnei asarim, like the silver menorahs before kings. So, and that's what you see in this picture. You see there's some kind of like ice cream box, you know, some kind of box, the yurecha, that the menorah is situated on. The problem is, Rashi says, both in Parshas Truma and in this week's Parsha, that it stood on legs. In Parshas Truma, Rashi says it was on three legs. In Bahaloischa, Rashi says it stood on legs. And the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Paragim HaLacha Beis, the Rambam says explicitly, V'sholosh Regalim HaYilah, it had three legs. And yet, you look at the menorah on the Arch of Titus, hey, where did the legs go? By the way, let me show you here. See, this is another close-up of the menorah on the Arch of Titus. No, there's no reference to any legs. Or on this close-up here, I'm going to show you very close, you won't see any legs on the picture. Okay? So where did the legs go? Next question. You know, what did the menorah look like? What do you mean? The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, it must have looked like the menorah that's used as the state of this, as the image of the state of Israel. You know, the image of the menorah in the state of Israel, that must be what the menorah looked like. So, let me tell you something. That doesn't necessarily, that is not necessarily an accurate depiction, because let's study what the Paiskim say about what the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash looked like. The Ibn Ezra, very interestingly, wrote two commentaries on Parshas Truma, a short commentary and a long commentary. The Ibn Ezra in his short commentary says, the Kadmoinim say that there was one ner in the middle, and six of them, one after another, Bechatzi Eagle, a semicircle. So the Ibn Ezra says the menorah was a semicircle. And that's indeed what we see on the in the depiction on the Arch of Titus. And that is the depiction of the menorah and the symbol of the state of Israel. Also, in the menorah that your father-in-law got you when you got married 217 years ago, or on the menorah that you wish your father-in-law would have got you when you got married, it's usually rounded. Menorahs are usually, if you go to Grand Sterling in Borough Park on 14th Avenue, I don't know, I made that up. And if I got it right, maybe they'll give us some advertising. You know, those menorahs are generally rounded. The Ibn Ezra, in his longer commentary, also writes, V'nacha inhu liyois tam ya'aroich ba'avor hayois haneros kechatzi eagle. The Ibn Ezra reiterates that the menorah was a semi-circle. By the way, many are not familiar that the Magen Avraham wrote a commentary on the Yalkut Shemayni. It's called Zayis Ra'anan. Magen Avraham was from the poorest of the Achronim. Legend has it he wrote parts of his commentary on Shulchan Aruch on the walls of his house. The Yalkut Shemayni says, Ya'aroich oisai Aharon ubanav echad achad. Uminayin shahayu choizrin chalila kemen atara. Talmud loymer yo'ira. How do you know it was like a like a circle, a never-ending cycle, like a crown. Talmud Lomer Yo'iru. The Magen Avraham says in Zayis Ra'anan, Lachin nearly the Mashikas of Kemin Atara, Hainu Sha'akonim Ba'atzmam Haya Agula Kemin Atara. There's a question what this means. Does this mean that the branches were in a shape of a semicircle, or that the branch itself was circular? But it seems to imply that it was in the shape of a semicircle. The Ibn Ezra clearly says it was a chatzi eagle. So that view and perspective on the menorah is consistent with the way the menorah is depicted on the Arch of Titus. However, it is known that the Rambam, in his diagram on Hilchos Beis HaBechira, you have a picture, a diagram of the Rambam, and there the Rambam says the menorah, or at least the way the Rambam depicts the menorah is depicted as diagonal. There, the menorah is depicted as diagonal, and in fact, Rabbi Avram ben Harambam in Parshas Truma says something very interesting. He says v'shisha kanim, hakanim kamay anofim. The kanim were like branches. Nimshachim migufa shel menorah. They're drawn from the main body of the menorah, letzad roisha, towards its head, b'yosher. K'moy shetzir oisa abba marizal. Like my father drew it. Loi be'igol. Not rounded, k'moy shetzir oisa zulas, like others have depicted it. In other words, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam clearly articulates that the menorah was diagonal, and the way his father drew it up, and not the way others have drawn it up. Furthermore, Rashi in Parshas Truma says, the way the kanim of the menorah were, they were yoytzim mitzideh, lekan ulekan, from this way and that way. Ba'alaksoin, in a diagonal, nimshachim ba'olam, they were drawn and they went up, ad keneged goyva shel menorah, up to the height of the menorah, shukana emtsai. So, we have a machlokes. What did the menorah look like? The Ibn Ezra, the Magen Avraham, seems to say it was semicircular. However, the Rambam and the Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam and Rashi says it was diagonal. Now, what's the halacha? Well, the halacha is the Ibn Ezra is a commentary on Chumash. It may not be considered a poisek. Rashi as well, there are many who maintain, was a, especially ala Torah, was just a mefaresh. We would follow the Rambam. Presumably, if Mashiach came today, we would follow the approach of the Rambam that the menorah was diagonal. Well, how is that consistent with the menorah in the Arch of Titus? Here you have a depiction of the Roman legionnaires carrying away the menorah, and it's semicircular. So, you know, how do you ask the question? Is this a question on the Rambam, or is this a question on the historical depiction? But it's inconsistent. So that's another thing that we have to deal with. And a third inconsistency is the depictions on the ice cream cake box underneath the menorah. Like I showed you, on this box, you have these depictions, and they seem to be depictions of dragons. And these darkoinim are definitely idolatrous icons. And it's not really, it's not reasonable to assume that in the second Beis HaMikdash, on the base of the menorah, there were idolatrous icons, especially in light of the fact that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, and we don't find that they worshipped Avodah Zarah during the second Beis HaMikdash. Interestingly, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says on Daf Mem Amud Beis, Mankit Rav Sheshes Chumrei Masnisa, V'tani Kala Mazalis Mutarim, Chutz Mi Mazal Chamo Levana V'chala Partzufin Mutarim, all faces are permitted, Chutz Mi Parts of Adam, V'chala Tzurois Mutarim, all images are Mutar, Chutz Mi Tzurois Darkoin. The dragon is considered the most idolatrous of all the various images. So that's a third inconsistency. So how exactly do we reconcile the halachic depiction of the menorah, which is number one, it had three legs, number two, it was diagonal, and number three, it did not have pictures of Avodah Zarah? How do we reconcile it with the depiction of on the arch of Titus? So there are basically three approaches to, or three to four approaches to reconcile this issue. Let's begin with the first one. The first one is found in Likutei Sichos. These are the Sichos of the Admar of Chabad, Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson. And in the original, there is a repository of all of his Sichos of all the various years. It's originally in Yiddish. And here from the Sefer Oitzer Pleis HaTorah, we have sort of the Hebrew translation of it. He says that because of all of these inconsistencies, it is logical that the menorah that is depicted on the Arch of Titus in Imperial Rome is not a picture of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It must have been a different menorah that was similar to the menorah in the Mikdash. Because back in the day, since the menorah was the center point, you may say, of the Jewish people, and it was considered one of the most prized and cherished objects, many people had menorahs in their homes, similar to the menorah in the Mikdash. Especially, idolaters would have, therefore, menorahs for their idolatry. And that's the reason why there were dragons on the base. And it was not a halachic menorah. It was not exactly like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Admar of Chabad says that the depiction on the Arch of Titus must have been a different menorah, but the menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu made and that they lit in the Mikdash, it was A, diagonal, B, it had three legs, and C, it did not have any idolatrous images on it. This is the approach of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, quoted in Likutei Sichos Chelek Chavav Parshas Tetzaveh. There's another very interesting approach in the Sefer Zikaron L'Shloimei Sali Meir. This is a memorial book for Solomon Sali Meir, or it's called Skriti in Memoria di Sali Meir, which is a book in Italian that of in tribute to this philanthropist. And in it you have an article from Rav Herzog. And Rav Herzog also brings up all of these inconsistencies. He says, whose heart does not flutter? Whose heart does not skip a beat when they see for the first time the image of the menorah of our Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed, embossed in the Arch of Titus? No one has any doubt in the exactitude of this image. You know, why? Because, says Rav Herzog, whatever artisans they use, whatever artists they use, sculptors they use, certainly they did their work with exactitude. But anyone who knows anything about the menorah, there are a lot of questions you could have. Why? He says that a couple years ago, the archaeologist, Dr. M. Kohen, who, by the way, was a descendant of the Baal Toiras Chesed from Lublin, he turned to me and he asked me about many of the contradictions between the image of the menorah, the way it appears on the Arch of Titus, and the way the Rambam depicts it. The Rambam says it had three legs. The menorah in the Arch of Titus was square on the bottom without any legs. Also, the Arch of Titus' menorah has these dragons. says Rav Herzog, I don't remember, I don't have the exact text of my response, but this is what basically I remember responding. Number one, if the Rambam wrote it was diagonal with three legs, there's no question that is the tradition of Chazal. Now, maybe you'll say, yes, that was the original menorah of Chazal. But many are not aware. Many think, yeah, the Beis HaMikdash, it stood for 420 years. Not true. It was destroyed. Hordas destroyed it, and then he rebuilt it. So maybe when he rebuilt it with an idolatrous way. Maybe that Russia was arrogant, and he altered the image of the menorah. By the way, this summer, if anybody wants to join us, we're July 15th, we're visiting Italy to a number of cities that we haven't been to yet. We're going to be visiting the son of the Chidan, Ancona, and the Zera Shimshain, and we're going to be going to Herodian, to Herod's city. Maybe Herod, when he built the new menorah, he did so with the idolatrous bent. And Rav Herzog says, no, with all of his inclinations to Rishus, he would not do such a thing. Chazal tell us that when he rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, he followed the advice of Baba Ben Buta and the Chachamim. And he did so to gain some kind of kapara. Now, the image of the Darkon, we know was quite idolatrous, like we quoted from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The truth is that if you find on a kli that has a tzura of darkon on it, you got to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. That's because maybe it was worshipped of Avodah Zarah, but to make it would be an Isser Drabanan. So maybe he did make it, but to do something publicly, it was very doubtful that that's what he did, especially in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, where they distanced themselves from any semblance of Avodah Zarah. And especially Rav Herzog says, they were very exacting, as the Pasuk teaches, HaKoil B'Chsav Miyadi Alai Hiskil. And even if you're going to say that only applies to the Mikdash itself and not to the Kelim, it's mashma that they followed an exact script even for the Kelim. So therefore, Rav Herzog says, it's very doubtful that Herod made a different type of menorah than the halachic menorah. Here, by the way, here you have a picture of maybe some kind of image of Titus's. This is the image of Titus's menorah. You see like the dragons on the base as it appears here. And what's interesting, wow, I didn't even realize this. One of the earliest depictions of a menorah found in Eretz Yisrael is a menorah on an early matseva, which is found in Be'eri. Can you imagine? It's found in Be'eri. So this is, here you see it's diagonal. On the other hand, you have a menorah, a mosaic menorah from the Byzantine period, and in Yericho, in Jericho, and it's circular. Another thing Rev Herzog brings up is the fact that the menorah had three legs. And that's not just the opinion of Rashi and the Rambam. It's based on the Gemara Menachos, Daf Chavches, and Amud Beis. Now, the Gemara doesn't say how many legs it had, but obviously it couldn't have had two legs because, you know, only human beings could walk on two legs. A kli that has a box underneath, it's going to need at least three legs. Okay. In any event, therefore, Rav Herzog says, because of these three inconsistencies, Rav Herzog offers the following thesis, the following theory. He says, "Ka'amor ani al karchi nidchaf l'hashar ma'oino yazas." I am forced to say somewhat of a revolutionary theory, You know what my theory is? My opinion is, says Rav Herzog, that when they took the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash and the legionnaires took it from Rome to Shalayim to the imperial city in Italy, something happened on the way. The base broke off. It fell into the sea. And in order to move it, and in order to display it in their victory parade, so the Italian sculptors had to fashion a new base for it. And once they made a new base for it, they made it in the image of the menorah that the Romans had without any legs, below the lower box. And they just made a base or a box. And once they made a new box, they engraved on it the dragons. Now, this doesn't answer the fact that the menorah is rounded on the Arch of Titus. And that seems to be inconsistent with the menorah as depicted by the Rambam. But basically, Rav Herzog's conclusion is, he has a critique on the state of Israel, why the state of Israel chose the image of the menorah on the Arch of Titus as a symbol of the state when that is not a halachic image. He says, Yoytzi mizeh shalai toiv oisa mem shalasenu hayom azeh kishazachinu shuv la'oiro shal tzion hamesumelas b'menorah. Now for the first time we're zoichet to the light of Yerushalayim that emanates from the menorah. Why would they dafka pick the image of the menorah captured by Titus, which apparently the hands of our enemies have ruled over and was not constructed completely b'tahara, like the Rambam says? By the way, he also says not only that, one of the archaeologists told him that on most menorahs that are etched on the Kvarim in the catacombs in Rome, they're all three-legged, and all the menorahs that are engraved on the menorahs in the mosaics are also three-legged. So you have it over here. Actually, I have to check. I was in the catacombs in Rome. So Rav Herzog is saying what the archaeologists testified to him. I'm curious what... Let me see if I could get a picture of when I was there. Let's see. In Villa Torlonia.
This Torah class is brought to you.
Let's see what that looks like. Let's see if we could get a picture of that. Oh, here. No, I don't see. I see a picture of the menorah in the catacombs. See, that one doesn't have legs. Let's see. Okay, in any event, Rav Herzog says that the archaeologists testified to him that the menorahs in the catacombs all have legs. So therefore, Rav Herzog says that in his view, the menorah must have been damaged and it was replaced with a base that did not have legs and had these dragons. I still don't know how that would reconcile the fact that the menorah in the Arch of Titus was circular and the menorah, according to the Rambam, was diagonal. The menorah was diagonal. Okay, so that's the second approach. So again, the Admar of Chabad says that the menorah in the Arch of Titus is not that menorah. Rav Herzog says, no, it is that the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, but the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash broke. And then there's another approach. It's brought in the Sefer Elav Dar of a Rabbi Rucham Horowitz that There are sources that the menorah never made it to Rome during the second Beis Hamikdash, but it was Nignaz, which is not correct, which is wrong, by the way, because we have a very clear tradition that the menorah is in Rome. It says explicitly, take a look in the Avos Rav Nosson in number 22, that Dvarim Ha'asuyin, there's certain things that are made, Ugenuzin, and they are buried. Elohein, Ayamayed, the Ayamayed, Vekelim, Shabai, and the Kelim of the Aron, of the Ayamayed, are buried, meaning the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, V'Aroin, the Aroin is buried, V'Shivrei Luchais, V'Tzintzenes Haman, V'Hamate, U'Makloi Shal Aroin, Shkeideha, Pracheha, the Big Day Kahuna, the Big Day Kayin Mashiach, but Aval Machtesha Shal Beis Avtinas, the mortar of the Beis Avtinas who made the Ketores, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Paroiches, the Tzitz, Adayin, Munachin, Beroimi. They are in Rome. So here we have a explicit Avos Rav Nosson that the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Paroiches, the Tzitz are still placed in Rome today. So, again, but there are those, you know, historians who, that their opinion is Keneged Divrei Chazal. Now, as we mentioned on the Gate of Titus, of course, there's the image of the menorah, and there's a great controversy when they founded the State of Israel and they made the Tzuras HaMenorah, the symbol of the state, they made it a replica of the menorah in Shar Titus, and thinking that the menorah depicted on the Arch of Titus is a exact replica of the menorah. As we mentioned, there are many problems with that. You have the dragons, and there's a question, is it also to make the dragons? Not, but it's not mistaber than the Bayis Sheni, they made dragons. The Rambam says that it had three legs. There's a question whether the menorah is circular or it's diagonal. Rav Herzog offered his opinion, and based on his opinion, he said it was a mistake that the state of Israel used that menorah. But this Rav Horowitz says as follows. He says, "Yesh ladun b'chol haraya me'ashar hanal, ki lufi ha'masupra b'divrei yimei Roma lo nivna ashar miyad achar." So he offers like this. The Arch of Titus was not built by Titus. Titus was victorious in the year 70. Vespasian dies in 79, and Titus becomes the emperor in the year 79. And Titus didn't build it. Domitian, his brother, built it. And he built it to commemorate the life of his brother 2.5 years later. So Vespasian ruled for 8 years. Titus ruled for 2.5 years. And even if you want to say that Domitian built it immediately, 11 years passed since the Romans marched that menorah through the streets of Rome. So is it possible that the artisan took some artistic leeway and he drew what he considered was the depiction of the menorah, but that's not exactly what the menorah looked like? So this approach is different than the Admar of Chabad, it's different than Rav Herzog. It's saying that because the arch was built 11 years later, he may not even have had the menorah in front of him. So he made it rounded, he made it with dragons, he made it without legs. Look, I think it's reasonable to say that even if the menorah was in front of him, I mean, anybody who ever saw... Now, the truth is that the sculptures and the statues of the Roman generals were considered exact replicas of what they looked like because they considered it to have power, and it was only infused with power if it was a perfect rendition of what they looked like. But still, not every artistic rendition is meant to be an exact replica. Anybody who's seen art knows that most art is not an exact replica of the original. But this is his approach. It took place 11 years later, and it does not necessarily it might not have been exactly accurate. He also brings other sources that claim that the gate built in the time of Titus was destroyed, and then another one was built by Domitian. And the inscription on the current arch is different than the original art. The original art read, Asifas Kesoivas Ramos. But there's a different inscription on the current art, and he also brings the possibility that the menorah that was carried off to Rome is not the exact menorah that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Or it could be that it was intentionally distorted, either accidentally distorted. There are Jews today who are noyeg not to pass under this arch, because again, the arch represents the Roman victory and dominion over the Beis HaMikdash. So there are basically three what we call traditional approaches to reconcile the image of the arch with the halachic image of the arch. Either, as Admar of Chabad says, that this is not a depiction of the menorah at all, it was a depiction of someone's personal menorah, and therefore it's inconsistent with the halachic menorah. Rav Herzog says that it is the actual menorah, but the actual menorah broke and it was replaced with a different kind of bottom. Again, we pointed out this won't really explain the fact that the menorah is rounded and not diagonal. And then this Rav Horowitz suggests that because it was built 11 years after the victory of Titus, perhaps that's why it was inaccurate. By the way, so Titus takes over in the year 79, and in the very year that he takes over, one of the generals who helped Titus in his campaign against Yerushalayim, Pompey, Titus named a city after him. And that whole city was destroyed in a volcanic eruption in the year 79. So right after immediately after Titus became general, he was punished mida keneged mida, measure for measure. I believe Rabbi Beryl Wein writes, people took this as divine retribution. He destroyed the temple in fire, and one of his important cities was destroyed in fire in Pompeii. And then a year later in Rome, wildfires broke out that burnt down a significant part of the city. So within his first 2 years of reign, he was met with fierce divine retribution, and he only ruled 2.5 years. And right now, Titus is not in a good place, and he rues the day he ever started up with us, as should all the Sinei Yisrael. Anyway, this is an interesting way to review some of the details of the menorah. Namely, the menorah halachically, the Ibn Ezra says it was rounded, the Rambam says it was diagonal. According, based on the Gemara Menachos, the Rambam and Rashi say it had three legs, and it certainly did not have Avodah Zarah on it. But let's just end with the following very powerful idea. You know, when the Reb Shmuel Rozovsky says that what motivated the Panovich Harav throughout his life is that the Panovich Harav recognized that our enemies could only dominate and only have sovereignty over the physical shell of something. But there's an idea, Gvilin Israfim Va'osiyos Parchais. The physical shell could be destroyed, but the spirit of it, so to speak, flies up and awaits until we rebuild new vessels for the spirit to reside in. And this is an idea that the Panovich Harav said, if he builds a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, then the soul of Panovich will be transplanted to the new vessel that he rebuilt. And the same with the menorah. The Gentiles can only have control over the physical shell, but the soul of the menorah, which is testimony that Hashem resides among the Jewish people, is with the Jewish people eternally, and the day will come when we will be reunited with the true menorah, which which we know the Ner Maravi was never extinguished, which shows Eidus Huli Yisrael, Shashchina, Shaira Imanu, and Bezus Hashem, we should be Zoicha again to the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen. Okay, thanks for joining everyone. Have a beautiful day. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.